Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Trade World by Ed Conway is a work of narrative economic history and contemporary geopolitical analysis about the systems that move goods, money, and power across borders. Building on the author focus in material world on the physical foundations of modern life, this book turns to trade as one of the central forces linking societies across time. Its organizing method is deliberately concrete. Conway uses bread, cloth, and cars to examine how ordinary products depend on long chains of production, transport, rules, finance, and political cooperation. The book is concerned not only with how trade created prosperity and interdependence, but also with why that order now appears less stable. It addresses the shift from late 20th and early 21st century globalization toward a world of tariffs, industrial policy, sanctions, border controls, and strategic rivalry. Its purpose is to make trade visible as a lived, material, and political system rather than an abstract economic slogan. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, bread, cloth, and cars turn global trade into a concrete system. A distinctive feature of Trade World is its use of three ordinary products as entry points into a very large subject. Bread, cloth, and cars are not merely examples of things people buy. They represent different kinds of trade dependence. Bread points toward food systems, agricultural inputs, milling, shipping, and the political sensitivity of staple prices. Cloth opens questions about labor, textile production, global manufacturing, and the long history of commerce in everyday materials. Cars reveal the complexity of modern industrial supply chains, where parts, design, energy, finance, and regulation may cross borders many times before a finished product reaches a consumer. This structure gives the book an analytical advantage. Instead of treating trade as a set of charts or policy debates, Conway can show how abstract forces become embedded in daily life. The approach also makes clear that trade is not a single pipeline from producer to buyer. It is a network of farmers, factories, ports, standards, brokers, insurers, customs officials, and consumers. By following common goods, the book shows that globalization is most visible when something routine is disrupted, delayed, restricted, or made more expensive. Secondly, the book frames globalization as a historical settlement now under pressure. Trade World is built around the idea that the recent era of globalization was not a natural condition, but a political and institutional settlement. For decades, many governments accepted that freer flows of goods, capital, and production would lower costs, expand markets, and bind countries into mutually beneficial relationships. Conway places the consensus in a longer historical frame, showing trade as both an engine of connection and a source of vulnerability. The book is especially concerned with the present moment, in which confidence in open trade has weakened. Tariffs, subsidies, sanctions, export controls, reshoring policies, and national security restrictions all suggest that states are reasserting control over economic flows. This shift matters because global supply chains were designed around efficiency, not necessarily resilience or political alignment. A product may be cheap because the system behind it assumes stable sea lanes, predictable rules, low trade barriers, and trust between governments. When those assumptions change, the price and availability of ordinary goods can change too. The book, therefore, treats trade policy as a visible expression of a deeper geopolitical transition. Thirdly, trade is presented as both a binding force and a source of strategic risk. The subtitle of Trade World points to a central tension trade has tied societies together. But those ties can also unravel or become instruments of pressure. Conway is not simply describing trade as beneficial exchange. He is examining how interdependence can produce prosperity while also creating exposure. When countries rely on each other for food, textiles, machinery, energy, components, finance, or shipping capacity, they gain access to scale and specialization. At the same time, dependence can become dangerous when relations deteriorate or when a crucial choke point fails. This dual view is important because public discussion often treats trade in moral or ideological terms, either as a path to peace and abundance or as a threat to jobs and sovereignty. The book appears to take a more structural approach. It asks what kinds of connections trade creates, who controls them, and what happens when political priorities override commercial logic. That perspective is useful for understanding why governments now scrutinize supply chains that once seemed ordinary. The concern is not only cost, but leverage who can stop a shipment, restrict a technology, block a route, or decide which country receives scarce goods. Fourthly, policy treaties and ground-level logistics are treated as parts of the same story. Trade World connects high-level economic rules with the physical and human processes that make trade possible. The book is described as moving from policy treaties to ground-level realities, including the people who make, ship, and sometimes smuggle the products people buy. That range matters because trade is often discussed in disconnected languages. Economists may focus on efficiency, comparative advantage, prices, and welfare. Diplomats may focus on agreements, disputes, sanctions, and blocks. Business people may focus on procurement, inventories, transport costs, and risk. Workers and consumers experience the same system through wages, prices, shortages, and local industrial change. By bringing these layers together, Conway can show that trade rules do not operate in isolation. A treaty or tariff affects shipping routes, factory decisions, customs procedures, and informal activity at borders. Likewise, disruptions on the ground can expose weaknesses in official policy. The inclusion of smuggling as part of the described terrain is significant because it suggests that restrictions do not simply stop trade. They may redirect it into less transparent channels. This makes the book attentive to the gap between what governments intend and how markets adapt. Lastly, the book makes the fragility of supply chains visible without reducing trade to crisis. One of the likely strengths of Trade World is its ability to explain fragility without presenting global trade only as a story of collapse. Modern trade networks are fragile in specific ways they depend on predictable regulation, cheap transport, functioning ports, reliable finance, political trust, and enough spare capacity to absorb shocks. Yet they are also adaptive, because traders, manufacturers, shippers, and consumers continually respond to changing prices and constraints. By focusing on everyday goods, Conway can show both sides. A loaf of bread, a shirt, or a car may appear simple at the point of purchase, but each relies on a chain of decisions distributed across countries and institutions. When one link changes, the effects can move through the system in uneven ways. Some consumers face higher prices, some firms find new suppliers, some workers gain from domestic investment, and others lose access to export markets. This complexity prevents simplistic conclusions. The book suggests that the central question is not whether trade is good or bad in the abstract, but how societies should manage dependence, resilience, fairness, and security in an age when economic openness is becoming more contested. In conclusion, Trade World should appeal to readers who want to understand the changing global economy without beginning from technical trade theory. It is especially relevant for readers interested in economic history, supply chains, geopolitics, industrial policy, and the hidden systems behind ordinary products. Its practical benefit is conceptual. Rather than instructional, it helps readers interpret news about tariffs, sanctions, shortages, port disruptions, reshoring, and strategic industries as connected parts of a larger transformation. The intellectual benefit lies in its refusal to separate material life from policy. By tracing bread, cloth, and cars, Conway makes clear that trade is not an abstract preference for openness, but a set of physical roots, legal frameworks, commercial incentives, and political bargains. Compared with many books on globalization, Trade World stands out through its concrete organizing structure and its attention to the present shift away from the assumptions of the recent global era. Compared with supply chain books focused mainly on business operations, it appears broader in historical and geopolitical scope. Compared with policy books on deglobalization, it is likely more accessible because it begins with familiar goods. The book is best suited to readers who want a clear, grounded account of why the world economy feels more contested and why the future of trade will shape daily life as much as diplomatic strategy. If you would like to support Ed Conway, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.